Welcome to the Agency in Focus, Navy, sponsored by Leidos.
Naval Supply Systems Command makes sure warfighters have what they need. They provide supplies, services, and quality of life support. Over 22,500 military and civilian personnel makes up NAVSUP's global workforce. Right now, a reform effort is underway to address some gaps and inefficiencies. Michael Madden is Vice Commander of the Naval Supply Systems Command. He spoke with Federal News Network's Jared Serbu about how it's going and how NAVSUP hopes to improve customer service and increase fleet readiness.
If you kind of look back in history, right? We've gone through a lot of years of continuing resolutions. We went through the Budget Control Act. And what's happened over time is you get a lot of processes that adjust to that reality. And so, and those processes, when you're in those kind of constrained funding environments, have a tendency to sub-optimize. And so the question is, over time, where is that sub-optimization affecting you? Now, come in with SecDef. SecDef comes in. I want you to focus on readiness and lethality. And with that, you've got to sit back and say, okay, let me look at everything that I do and make sure that it's tuned to that outcome. And so at the same time, what happens is, you know, you start looking at your processes on a much deeper level and saying, okay, is there something that's embedded in our processes that was there to handle, you know, the lower funding levels that we need to rethink? You know, it's not about not being efficient, but you're really trying to figure out, okay, what is the effectiveness that I'm trying to achieve? At the same time, you know, being good stewards of public funds, you want to make sure that you're not hurting yourself from that overall objective that the SecDef wants.
I really like the way you put that, because I think a lot of people in DoD, especially over the past few years, as you kind of alluded to, probably feel like they're in the middle of 1,000 different little efficiency drills at all times with no particular rhyme or reason to it. Some of it probably doesn't make sense to them at the deck plate level. And I just wonder, having gotten a few months into this, what kind of difference you think it's made to organize everything you're doing under the heading, even just branding it as something, as a business reform plan, and letting people know these are the five pillars we're going after, so that it's organized in some way and people have an idea of where you're trying to go?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think in the end, what happens is if you've got a clear outcome that you've got to achieve, that gives you a really good target to shoot on. And then, again, it's about that alignment to those objectives. If you look at what NAVSUP does, we buy spares for ships, airplanes, and submarines. And when you do that, we're buying in anticipation of need. So I like to use the term, we buy lead time. And so time is a big element for us here at NAVSUP. And as anybody that's been in this business any length of time, both commercially or even in the government, you need inventory to cover time. And so the less time, if you can compact your time, you need to make less investment in material. So we looked at a lot of the big processes of where is it taking us lots of time. You know, contracting would be one of them, you know, the contracting process. You know, how can you go into that process and take out as much of the non-value-added time in the process? For example, making sure that the person that's writing the contract understands the requirement. Could you put those people together in a different way than you do today so that that requirement is cleaner, better understood when it gets to the contracting shop? And so, you know, those are the kinds of things that we're looking at. Forecasting and customer engagement, for example. You know, we look at a lot of what the commercial world has done. You know, when you look at guys that are big industrial providers to their own material, their own customer base, you know, guys like GE, Caterpillar, who have equipment in the field being used by customers, you know, what we found is they're out there making sure that they understand exactly everything that customer's encountering with their equipment so that they can provide better support. So there's the whole element of intimacy. And then the information that you can gather from that intimacy with the customer about maybe something's changing, operating hours are going up, we're going into a yard period, or things like that that allow you to kind of bring that back into your own planning in order to take out some of the variation that you might experience.
back to your point about looking at what the commercial world is doing, what are some of the specific ways you've done that? I mean, I know, for example, that you guys brought in Boston Consulting Group to help out with the digital accelerator portion of all this. But what specific help have you gotten to try and figure out what the best practices are out there in business?
Well, I think, you know, Boston Consulting Group has helped, I think, to at least synthesize the things that we saw on different visits. So, you know, we're constantly going out into the marketplace trying to just see, you know, what the commercial world does so that we can kind of pick the things that are most applicable to us and make sure that we kind of can bring them in or bring a flavor of those things in. But a lot of the senior leadership here, in conjunction with other Navy leaders, are out looking at different models that exist in the commercial world. But I think in the end, you know, we picked up that information. How do you gather information that maybe your customer doesn't think is all that important, but would make all the difference in the world on how you'd support them? And so that's one of the things we're looking at. Well, where we put our people now has become much more of a strategic initiative than maybe has in the past. And when I talk about that, you've got both NATSUP as a command and then the Supply Corps community, the Supply Corps officers that are out in the field. So we're going into the shipyards, we're going into the aviation depots to make sure that we really understand what's going on the ground so that we're not missing anything when we start forecasting needs in the future.
Yeah, and you've flicked at several of the five different pillars that make up this initiative in our conversation so far, but I want to dig a little bit deeper into each of them and have you talk about where things stand with each of them a little bit. And let's start with that customer presence piece. Why did you choose that as one of these pillars? I mean, did it come out of some sense or some realization that you were underserving or misserving some of your customers in some way?
Well, I think there's been, you know, in the department, there's been a push to consolidate logistics over a number of years, again, primarily driven by the cost perspective. Now, the question becomes, when you're really trying to understand what's going on the ground, should we be in there in a different role than we may have been in the past? And so, again, it's that connection down at where they're doing their planning that becomes important for kind of extracting that information. But yes, I would argue in some cases because of past decisions that we may have been pulled out of certain places that I think that we should now belong back in. If you really look at it, you know, shipyards, aviation depot repair facilities, those are readiness generators. And if you go get, then again, go back to that SecNav. You know, I want to generate readiness and lethality. If you are not in those locations, then you're missing that opportunity to help drive that outcome.
And as I understand it, part of that is to try and get your end customers to understand the supply chains that they rely on to do their jobs a little bit better every day so they can have some sense of when things are going to come in, to put it bluntly. What does that get you? If they have better knowledge, better insight into where things stand in your chains, how does that let them do their jobs better?
Well, here's a thesis for you. For the most part, the customer sees the supply system as a black box. You know, just get me my stuff. That's the way they kind of view it. What they need is that executive agent, that translator of that system, so that in the cases where you have exceptions, supply system works, fills requisitions every day, but every once in a while you hit that exception. Something broke that hasn't broken in 20 years. Something's broke and there's no longer a manufacturer or a supplier for that part. You need that supply officer to be engaged at that level so that they can work those exceptions that happen inside of that black box to make sure that there's a good outcome for the customer.
That's Vice Commander of the Naval Supply Systems Command, Michael Madden, speaking with Federal News Network's Jared Serbu. We'll be right back after a quick break. I'm Eric White.
Leidos has proudly supported the U.S. Navy for nearly 50 years with systems and solutions that span from seafloor to cyberspace. We're advancing global missions with agile, innovative IT and providing cyber expertise built for resilience and rapid response to ever-evolving threats. Our team brings commercial best practices and leading-edge technologies matched with a deep understanding of the defense sector's most complex challenges. At Leidos, we're developing practical answers for a complicated world. Visit leidos.com/seafloor to learn how.
We now continue our interview with Michael Madden, Vice Commander of the Naval Supply Systems Command, speaking with Federal News Network's Jared Serbu.
Another one of your pillars, which you also talked about a bit earlier, which is forecasting. And what do we mean when we say forecasting? Is it more trying to anticipate volumes or trying to anticipate locations of demand or some of both?
Well, I think it's you know, there's operations that drive requirements every day. And then there are special events that drive certain overhauls, for example, that may go on, or a change in the number of aircraft that may go through for an overhaul in a particular year. If you've been looking at, you know, 20 aircraft on an annual basis for the last 5 years, and all of a sudden somebody's got a plan to go to 40, that's a piece of information you're going to want to know in an anticipated manner so that you can put the material out there when it's needed. But in the big sense, forecasting is, you know, there's probably 10,000 weapon systems out there if you start looking at all the equipment that's aboard ships, aircraft, and submarines. And the question becomes, each one of those has its own reliability factors. Each one of those has its own, states and conditions that it operates under. And so what you're trying to do is understand the environment so that you can understand what's forecastable. And I'll use a term unforecastable. There are certain weapon systems where the demand is so sporadic that it's hard to forecast when to have those parts. And then how do you deal with that separately? So it's really about the amalgamation of data. It's really about using analytics and, you know, certain tools to give you the best answer that you can. And then looking for feeds of information that you may not necessarily have looked at before.
So that's interesting, and it sounds like to be successful there, you're kind of relying on big Navy to a large extent to provide you with more information. So compared to that customer presence piece we talked about more, from your perspective, it's more of a pull of information instead of a push of information out to the fleet.
Right. Well, I think what happens is that we're using those people that we've strategically placed around the Navy to feed that information into our planning process.
I see.
Because, again, a lot of times they may not notice that that's an issue that they need to discuss. Lots of times they do, but if you're on the ground and you understand what's going on in their planning process, you know how it's going to affect you. And so I think that's the key where those two come together, the nexus.
So let's talk next about responsive contracting. Talk to me, I don't know how far into it you are, but what are some of the ways you've either targeted to take non-value-added process out of the contracting, out of the entire contracting process, or what successes have you had there so far?
Well, so I think a lot of it is contracting in itself inside of an ICP, inventory control point, has a customer. That customer are the people that are managing the inventories, that are making sure that they understand what's going on with the weapon systems. And so they kick out a requirement. I think a lot of it goes to making sure that the transactions that happen between those that manage inventory then need something from contracting are as clean as possible. The cleaner that information flow means the more that they can get down to the contracting, can get down to the job that they're supposed to be doing, which is reaching out in that commercial world and finding sources. As you can imagine, a lot of this is not like going and buying, you know, toilet paper or a paper towel. You're really talking about making sure that the industrial base is there, that over a 20 or 30 year life of a weapon system, that there's still people in the market providing those solutions to you. So I think a lot of what we looked at internally was how do we make sure that the transactions between those that manage inventory and those that go out and contract for are as clean as possible. And we've seen 20% reductions in end-to-end time to get a contract on the street.
specifically on the contracting piece, one thing that I've never quite gotten my head around is who contracts for a particular item? Is it DLA or is it NAVSUP or your equivalents in the sister services? Where are the seams there between what your responsibility is and what DLA's responsibilities are for contracting?
All right. So in our world, we, and I'll use the term manage, maybe that's a little easier. We manage depot level repairables. It's those equipments that can be repaired and returned to service. If you think about your own automobile, that would be the transmission, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are things that are single use, things that are called consumable items. So we have the depot level repairables. DLA has the consumables. Now, those consumables can be up to like circuit cards, for example, but they just wouldn't be repairable. They have a single use and they get put away. So DLA does that, and then we do the management of the depot level repairables.
Got it. That's a good explanation. Okay, so strategic supplier management. Talk to me about what the concerns there are. Is it especially concerns about, you know, single source relationships and potentially losing a critical supply of a given item?
Well, I think, you know, there's a range of things that are going on there. You're right. In some cases, you've got sole source support for weapon systems. Other cases, you can get multi sources for weapon systems. The key is what's going on in their world, where you could provide information to them that would make their jobs of supporting us easier. So, for example, if they could see a longer pattern of our demand, or if they could have a different strategic relationship with us, would that facilitate their ability to keep their sub-tier suppliers engaged on a much longer period of time? Could they combine that with other work that they may be doing, either in production of a weapon system, or, you know, could it piggyback off of another effort that they have with another services weapon system? And so really what this is about is, again, getting in there and understanding how that you can both get something out of the, you know, you understand enough about what's going on in their world so that you can get enough, you can provide them enough information to increase their value to you as a supplier.
That's Vice Commander of the Naval Supply Systems Command, Michael Madden, speaking with Federal News Network's Jared Serbu. We'll have more of the interview after one more quick break. I'm Eric White.
Leidos has proudly supported the U.S. Navy for nearly 50 years with systems and solutions that span from seafloor to cyberspace. We're advancing global missions with agile, innovative IT and providing cyber expertise built for resilience and rapid response to ever-evolving threats. Our team brings commercial best practices and leading-edge technologies matched with a deep understanding of the defense sector's most complex challenges. At Leidos, we're developing practical answers for a complicated world. Visit leidos.com/seafloor to learn how.
You're listening to our interview with Michael Madden, Vice Commander of the Naval Supply Systems Command. He's speaking with Federal News Network's Jared Serbu.
You mentioned, you know, bridging information between you and a demand that another service might have for a particular supplier's parts. But what about at a DoD enterprise level? I mean, I know the department as a whole, through the DIB study it just did and through the Defense Industrial Policy Office, is looking at a lot of these same issues.
Right. So you can do consolidation, in my mind, at a certain level. So, you know, if somebody wants to, you know, in very simple terms, you know, if you're going to consolidate the buys on fan belts and filters and nuts and bolts, that's one thing. But when you really talk about those weapon systems that drive availability, or those parts that drive availability of a weapon system, when you're sending somebody out to go into the fight, that's a much different thing. That requires a much more refined touch, a much more strategic engagement with the commercial world, so that you can make sure, from your Title 10 responsibilities, that those weapon systems are ready to go. So, I mean, you can do consolidation to it, and I think there are people that disagree with this, but you can do consolidation to a certain level, but you can't do total consolidation.
Before we want to run out of time, I want to make sure we get to your last pillar, which is integrated logistics. Talk to me about what the theory is there and what kind of results you've seen.
Well, I think in integrated logistics is, you know, there are supply is but an aspect of what goes on in logistics. And so you've got maintenance, you've got tech pubs, you've got a engineering drawings. You've got a bunch of things that come together that result in the sustainment of a weapon system. The key is if any one of those, I mean, I can buy all the parts in the world. And so, for example, if a maintainer wasn't adequately trained, that's not going to help the availability of that weapon system. So you've kind of got to bring all of those things together, and they've all got to come together in a coordinated manner so that that everybody does their piece in the process. And if there's not a balance there in that integrated logistics, you're going to have an availability problem for a weapon system.
And I also wanted to ask you about the financial statement audit, because it kind of ties together a lot of what we've been talking about in the course of our conversation so far. DOD as a whole obviously did not get a clean opinion. I'm just wondering how NAVSUP did. Were there particular areas where you did better than you thought or worse than you thought? And broadly, what did you learn out of it as a management tool?
Well, we're focused primarily on the inventory of material that we hold in the working capital fund. And so there's been an evolution of change over the last 30 years in that world about how, who's responsible for custodial relationships, DLA, for example. DLA holds a lot of our material. I've got over 1,300 commercial vendors for which I'm doing repairs across, you know, getting repairs done. And so all of that material has to be tracked and make sure that we understand at what stage in the repair process is it. Is it NFRI? Is it RFI, ready for issue or not ready for issue? And so the question becomes, what are the controls in each one of those areas to make sure that they can ascertain that the value of our inventory for components, depot level repairables, is something that they can attest to? And so we've done some things in the past, for example, move material out to the flight line in order to support some readiness things. And when it's out on the flight line, it may be still our material, but it's not in our custody. And so that's kind of unique in the commercial world. And so we're kind of making sure that we understand kind of what we should be doing from an audit perspective with that material, while still maintaining the two key pieces, lethality and readiness. We never want to do anything that affects those things, but we've got to change some of our processes to make sure that they're more auditable, and we're getting after that. Matter of fact, before I came into this meeting, I spent the last 2 hours in making sure that we were tracking to all of the audit requirements.
Vice Commander of the Naval Supply Systems Command, Michael Madden, speaking with Federal News Network's Jared Serbu. Hear this entire interview online. Go to federalnewsnetwork.com and search Agency in Focus. I'm Eric White.
Thank you for listening to Agency in Focus, Navy, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsnetwork.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsnetwork.com. Search Agency in Focus.
Leidos has proudly supported the U.S. Navy for nearly 50 years with systems and solutions that span from seafloor to cyberspace. We're advancing global missions with agile, innovative IT and providing cyber expertise built for resilience and rapid response to ever-evolving threats. Our team brings commercial best practices and leading-edge technologies matched with a deep understanding of the defense sector's most complex challenges. At Leidos, we're developing practical answers for a complicated world. Visit leidos.com/seafloor to learn how.